Hi, I'm Femi OK. How has 2021 been for you? I'm looking forward to hearing from you. In today's episode of The Stream, we gather together faith leaders who talk about their work this year, how faith has sustained them and is helping them prepare for 2022. This is an interfaith conversation. All denominations are welcome.
During the COVID-19-induced lockdown, we saw that many people use that as an opportunity to reconnect with God and to drive inspiration, hope, and resilience from their various religious traditions.
What scholars like me know is that faith can be a tremendously positive coping mechanism. Despite evidence that's showing that there may be a decline in church attendance or denominational affiliation, what 2021 seems to be reminding us is that faith is still a very important coping mechanism for individuals who have experienced loss and trauma.
When I look at the fragmentation that's often present in various political persuasions or different aspects of our society, I see that the only way forward in division is love. And so my recommendation is to say sacrificial love is the way forward so that we can demonstrate the eternal worth found in others as we move into 2022.
So how has your faith guided you in 2021? This is a conversation that is open to all of our viewers. If you're on YouTube especially, you can comment right here in the comment section, be part of our show and talk to our guests. Let's meet your panel. Hello, Sister Rosemary. Hello, Maggie. Hello, Sunita. So good to have all three of you here. Sister Rosemary, please introduce yourself to our stream audience.
I am Sister Rosemary, and I'm working in Northern Uganda. And all these years, but 2021 has been the most extraordinary year for me and the people I work with, in as far as faith is concerned. Okay. But again, I saw it has been a great test of faith, because people started with desperation when COVID came in. We didn't know what else we could do. But at the same time, there was a great longing to go back to one's faith and trust in God, even if doors of churches were locked. You can see people had deep, deep longing to go back to God. And so I think from desperation, there came increase of faith as well.
All right. Setting the scene there from Sister Rosemary's perspective. She's in Gulu, Uganda. Maggie, nice to see you. Please introduce yourself to our international viewers.
Thank you for having me. I'm Maggie Siddiqui, Senior Director of Religion and Faith at the Center for American Progress, which is a multi-issue think tank. We focus on engaging diverse faith communities across America in our public policy discourse and uplifting issues like religious freedom.
So good to have you. And hello, Sunita. Welcome. Please introduce yourself. Tell our audience who you are and what you do.
Namaste, everyone. Hello, I'm Sunita Vishwanath, Executive Director of Hindus for Human Rights, which is a nonprofit based in the U.S., but our focus is human rights in South Asia, North America, and beyond. And we really are, we have two dovetailing priorities. One is to lift up human rights and religious freedom from the perspective of our Hindu faith, but also to add that Hindu voice and Hindu force of love to interfaith spaces for social justice.
So good to have all three of you faith leaders here with us on the stream. I'm going to start with something practical, Sister Rosemary, which takes us to huge big cartons of soap. Have a look here on my laptop. Because you rolled up your sleeves and helped your community. What is going here on here? It looks like you're taking inventory.
I had to create and invent something which I knew my people could not afford. We had to buy hand sanitizers to prevent COVID. And people are so poor in Northern Uganda, they couldn't afford even half a liter of hand sanitizer, even any. So I decided with my children and the girls, the vulnerable children, to teach them how to make liquid soap. And that liquid soap, we made a lot, so much so that we gave out to the vulnerable community around. We gave to refugee camps. We gave to orphan children. We gave to so many people. But there was a great lesson being taught to these young people. Instead of being idle or being desperate, they learned something during the lockdown when they didn't have schools. This was the homeschooling they learned that time.
I love that idea of rolling up your sleeves and just getting to action and helping the community. Maggie, this is the second pandemic Ramadan in recent history. How was it? How was Eid? How was that togetherness, that celebration of togetherness? How was it now that one had gone and now there was another year of that?
Yeah, it was still not the Ramadan I think many of us would have hoped for, obviously, but it was absolutely different from Ramadan 2020, which was just a time of great anxiety and grief. That it was very early on in the pandemic. We didn't know what was going on. We didn't know how COVID was even transmitted. And so we all had to be in sort of complete lockdown for that month in order to be safe. And meanwhile, people were grieving loved ones and not being able to do that in community. Whereas for 2021, you know, we knew the public health guidance. Some people, I think, were already starting to be vaccinated. So, and we had kind of gotten in this rhythm of online communities. Some mosques were able to, perhaps later in the year, not during Ramadan, but, you know, do some in-person gatherings. And we were able to actually pray Eid outdoors, my family and I, which was an absolutely wonderful thing to see everybody in person on that day and know that we were, you know, still practicing public health guidance and able to do that. So still a struggle, but, you know, kind of definitely not where we were last year. And we were so absolutely grateful for that.
I'm going to bring in Fred Stella from the West Michigan Hindu Temple. I'm going to ask you, Sunita, to respond immediately. But Maggie and Sister Rosemary, I'm also expecting you to answer his question too. Here's Fred.
I am deeply concerned for the spiritual health of our nation. Many people look at this as only a political issue, but I look at it as moral, religious, and spiritual. And that is that so many people in positions of power, particularly those who are our elected officials, will lie so brazenly about important things, such as the state of our democracy. Many people know that last year's election was legitimate, and yet they will claim it was not, merely to hang on to power and to take advantage of the undereducated and those challenged in their critical thinking. The same is true when talking about COVID and the remedies for this pandemic. I'm happy to hear any comments on these.
Sunita, you start.
My immediate thought is, of course, I agree with Fred. And my heart and my mind goes immediately to India, which is currently under the government, which is the BJP government, which is a Hindu nationalist government. And in today's India, the minorities, the religious minorities, especially Muslims and Christians and Dalits, their rights are being severely compromised and democracy itself is on the line. And so Fred's words make me remember that when he speaks about the lies, you know, and thinking about religious gatherings, there is the world's largest religious gathering that takes place in India. It's called the Kumbh Mela. And the Indian government, instead of putting the Kumbh Mela off for reasons of, you know, we're in a pandemic, and when, you know, millions of people come together, it's certainly not a good idea during a pandemic like this. This government of India actually moved the Kumbh Mela to one year in advance. They moved it forward a year. And this massive gathering took place, and hundreds of thousands of people were, got COVID because of it. And the reason that they did that was for electioneering, for campaigning. And so, yes, I agree with Fred, but I am immediately transported to India, where Hinduism, the religion of Fred, and we are united with it, you know, in a Hindu faith. And so his comments apply to India as much as here.
I mean, Maggie, what Fred was saying is that politicians don't always tell the truth. They're not always good leaders. So as faith leaders, what do you do then?
Yeah, that's a real challenge. And I think what Sunita is saying is, in some ways, there are really clear echoes in what's happening in the United States. We had a white nationalist administration for 4 years that similarly handled, I think, the pandemic in really destructive ways and polarized people and spread a big lie, as Fred was saying. As faith leaders, fortunately, there is a lot we can do. We saw faith leaders really mobilizing in the pandemic, for example, that were instrumental in vaccine rollout. We saw this year in particular that the Biden administration partnered with faith communities to do that vaccine rollout and saw a decline in vaccine hesitancy among those communities. And faith communities have been so incredibly engaged, in particular in protecting our democracy, which has been a beautiful thing to watch until the 2020 election in particular, past that, ensuring that we protect the results. I know that there were faith leaders that were actively organizing to put their bodies on the line at the 2020 election to help prevent violence because there was fear of that at the polls. And then it's really continued on into 2021, the advocacy for voting rights. Nuns were getting arrested in front of the Capitol a couple of weeks ago. Like, it's incredible, incredible activism on the part of faith leaders and faith communities that have stepped up in new ways and in interfaith ways as well throughout this year.
Sister Rosemary, you are living in a place called Gulu, which I know well. It's in the northern part of Uganda. And your daily challenges are so much more different from the ones that maybe Maggie is dealing with, Sunita is dealing with, even just getting enough food for people, taking care of people. Those are some of the biggest challenges that you have. How do you deal with them? Do people say the government should be doing this? They need to be taking care of us. How do you deal with that?
Actually, what I think is that the spiritual health and the physical health of our people is very, very important. And I thought, for me, it's not enough to say the government should do this, the government should do that. And I put myself at this point that the government is every one of us. If I do my part, then the government is in. And if someone else is doing his part or her part, then we are the government. And it's very, very important for us as faith leaders to be able to direct our people in the right way of thinking. Even as far as this COVID situation is concerned, we faith leaders had the right, we still have the right and the power to teach people to understand exactly how they can take care of themselves, but actively getting involved in how they can take care of themselves, practically showing them what they should do, is not enough to speak. And again, our people need to be taught that they have a voice. They can speak out to say, no, this is not right. And yes, this is okay. But they need to be led forward, because my people are so vulnerable, so much so that they could keep silent and anybody could walk on them and they would not know what to do. As far as the vaccine is concerned, we had to get involved. We must get involved in telling people that this is the good thing. This is the right thing.
Yes, and I agree with you completely, sister. You know, for us, our question is, as progressive Hindus, what is our role? What is our dharma in any particular challenging situation? And when COVID, the second wave, especially in India, was just ravaging the country, especially the poorest people in India, especially the most marginalized, we were able to support a Dalit organization in Kerala, which, and all the images that you showed in Africa were very similar to what this Dalit rights group was doing in Kerala, in villages and districts. And they also created an online school for Dalit children in the villages because, you know, middle-class children were able to go to their computers in their homes, but these villages didn't even have internet. So to be able to support the most marginalized Dalit organization in a part of India was part of, you know, something that we could do and make a difference. And also, we have this project called Voices of Peace, which is a grassroots media project, and you can see it on our website. But through that project, we have been lifting up the voices of just ordinary citizens of India. And time again, you will find people who refuse to be divided by the politics of the nation, and you will find Hindus and Muslims and Sikhs and Christians just forgetting the differences between them and helping each other through this horrific crisis of COVID in India.
Yes, I'm going to go to YouTube because I've got a couple of questions here and our audience are asking you for your advice. So this is Kim. Maggie, I'm going to put Kim's thought to you first of all. With so many ongoing economic, social, political and ecological crises, what role can faith play in sustaining optimism and hopefulness? Maggie, that's a big question.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think
Sister Rosemary is smiling. She's like, I'm glad I didn't get that question, first of all. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Maggie.
I mean, I think in many ways, the answer to that question is deeply personal. And so it looks differently for many of us. And I don't want to kind of gloss over that. But I can share sort of what sustains me amidst all of that. You know, in my tradition, we believe that God does not give any person a burden greater than what they can bear. And that is something that is helpful to remind me that whatever whatever I am experiencing that I find incredibly challenging, God knows already that he's placed enough strength in my heart that I can endure that. Mm. And another thing that helps is a friend of mine shared, there's so much to fix in the world. And I cannot fix everything, but I'm committed to doing what I can, where I can. And I think similarly, that gives me hope that I know that God has given each of us a purpose, and we have a duty to live out that purpose, whatever we can, wherever we can. We are not going to be able to solve everything in the face of these massive crises and systemic challenges, right, mm-hmm. that we're sort of trapped within. But sure. We can do our part. Right. And that's what gives me hope. We have the strength within us. We have the light within us to bring about joy, to bring about change. And, you know, God willing, to bring about economic recovery and the end to these kinds of systemic ills as well.
Mm-hmm. Sister Rosemary, you were chuckling at how huge Kim's question was. It's like, how do we stay hopeful when we have so many global crises all happening at the same time? And your answer to Kim would be what, Sister Rosemary?
You know, what I was thinking about already is that when we talk about faith, faith must follow some actions. Faith cannot stand alone. There must be something which keeps moving us. We keep doing something. And for instance, you live with a group of people who are so poor, who are struggling to have some food to eat and they don't have it. Who cannot earn, and they don't have any source of livelihood. The challenge is that you must be present in that situation with them and show them the way. Like what you saw, we were making liquid soap. Why were we making the liquid soap? We're making the liquid soap to respond to the most vulnerable in our community. Because we have many poor people, we are all living in a poor situation. But there are those who are poorer, the poor or the poorest. And that's why we are able to say the refugees who came from Congo, from South Sudan, were the most vulnerable people, especially during this pandemic. And our faith led us in action to make liquid soap for ourselves and distribute to them. It's a simple action that we took.
I'm going to go back to YouTube, and Sunita, help me out with this question from Maple. Maple says, how can we respond to faith leaders that view and preach the pandemic as divine reckoning? I find this so harmful in building on a hope and love-based spirituality. I've also found that a lot of faith leaders are using the pandemic to either sustain their particular viewpoint, i.e. my religious freedom means I don't need to wear a mask. My religious freedom means that I don't need to get a vaccine. This is quite a challenge for anyone who has faith and is looking to their religious leaders and perhaps they're being misled. Sunita?
We've seen this in probably all the faith communities, but again, focusing on India, when COVID first came on the scene, it was there were many ways in which it was characterized as Corona jihad, and the Muslim community was blamed for COVID, and then the Chinese were blamed for COVID, and you know there were all these ways in which you know whoever our political enemies were, we used COVID to attack those communities even more. And then India had these massive protests against a very discriminatory Citizenship Act, an anti-Muslim citizenship bill, that were taking place. And as soon as COVID hit, the government was able to use COVID to shut those protests down. So those things happen. And I just come back to, I mean, I was resonating so much with the comments made about faith. And in Hinduism, we are taught that the divine is in you and me and everyone and every aspect of the universe. And if that is truly something that we believe as Hindus, then really it guides us and moves us to refuse to go to those places of division. And again, I just have seen over and over again among ordinary people this refusal to be divided. That's the only answer. Mm-hmm. The answer is to... In the Bhagavad Gita, there's a line that says where Lord Krishna says, "Do your own dharma imperfectly rather than somebody else's dharma perfectly." So it really is important that each one of us ourselves is sure about what it is we stand for, what we believe, who our God is, and live by that. And for me, that means being in spaces where I am looking at somebody who doesn't look like me or doesn't agree with me, and I see God in their face. Mm-hmm. That's hard and challenging when it's people who are saying hateful things, but that's the work we have to do. And the much more beautiful part of that is being in a space like this, mm-hmm. where I'm looking at my sister's faces and I see God in your faces. Mm-hmm. That's how we can find the strength to speak up.
I have one more voice to add to our conversation before I'm going to ask all three guests to give us something to sustain us, to get us to the end of 2021 and then over the hump into 2022. I don't know what they're going to say to help us do that, but I know it's going to be good. Let's go to Shahid first.
2020 left the world in a state of shock when the pandemic hit. I think none of us were really expecting anything like it, and it really tested us. In 2021, you started to see how the world reacted to it with respect to the world around us. I think for some of us, it made us more compassionate, more introspective. It forced us to consider what our values were with respect to the world. And I think for some people, unfortunately, it made us more cynical, more fearful, more selfish. How can we tap into various faith traditions to encourage more of the former and less of the latter?
How can we be better people? All right, wonderful guests. You have 30 seconds each. Is that enough time? Maggie, it is. Go for it.
I don't want to repeat what I said earlier, but that really is that, you know, we have strength, we have light that has been placed divinely within us, right, to do what we can, wherever we can. We are not asked to do any more than that. But we can make a difference just by leaning into that, leaning into those gifts that we have been given, and God willing, can transform the world for the better.
Sunita.
You know, truth is God, truth is divine, and truth is not always pretty. And I think it is absolutely our moral imperative, our duty as faithful people to speak the truth. Just a few days ago, a Muslim boy, 22 years old, was lynched by a Hindu set of boys, some of whom were his friends in Haryana. Those boys were saying, "I am Hindu, you are Muslim," as they killed him. Right. As a Hindu, I have to speak that truth and invite fellow Hindus to stand up and say, "No,
thank you, Sunita.
Not in our name, not in our name." And that is love.
Thank you, Sunita. That is love. I want to spend a little bit of love and give a little bit of love to Sister Rosemary so that we don't end up without having her in the conversation. Sister Rosemary, your sentence to sustain us to 2022, what is it?
I think as we enter 2022, it's very important for us to keep remembering that we are our brothers and sisters' keepers. And we need to have that freedom, but accompanied with corporate responsibility.
Thank you, Sister Rosemary. Take care of one another. We appreciate you, Sister Rosemary, Maggie, Sunita, YouTube comments. Appreciate all of you. See you next time.